I'm Herb Wally. I'm with the Larry Durker chapter here in Houston, and I'm introducing Steven Steinberg, and he's going to make a presentation on the 1931 Dixie series, Houston versus Birmingham, the brash youngster versus the wily veteran. And if you have cell phones or any other kind of chiming devices, please make sure they're on silent. And he's going to try to get done in 20 minutes so that we have a few minutes for Q&A as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to jump right into this. One of the real joys on working with the minor leagues of the first half of the 20th century is that there's three types of players, and really two of them you don't see as much anymore. You have the young player on his way up, maybe even a potential superstar like Dizzy Dean here, who starred on the 1931 Houston Buffaloes. Then you have people that you don't see as much in the minor leagues anymore, people that have been in the majors, maybe stars 20 years ago, that like Ray Caldwell at age 43 here, who's still hanging on for a few more paychecks, a few more cheers from the crowd. And while my talk is going to focus mainly on them, there's also a third group of players that I stumbled upon in this, and that is the career minor leaguers. But I'm talking about guys that played 15 and 20 and even more than 20 years in the minors and were really very, very good, but they'd never really made it in the major leagues. So let's just jump right into it. Ray Caldwell, I've written the Bio Project bio on him, is one of the most colorful players in baseball history. His obituary talked about his legendary escapades, his womanizing, his drinking, his partying on Broadway in the teens while he was on the New York Yankees. And Miller Huggins has a quote down here which basically says, had Caldwell been able to control his urges and impulses, he probably would have been one of the very greatest pitchers in baseball history. We'll come back to him. And so he's 43 years old now, star pitcher on the Birmingham Barons that win the Southern Association, that are going to face Dizzy Dean's Houston Buffaloes. This is Dizzy Dean here on the left, and he certainly was a colorful player even when he came up early on. This is a quote from Roy Stockton, who was the St. Louis writer who probably did more to add to the Dean legend than any other sports writer. There was another person connected with St. Louis, and you'll probably recognize this quote, but here's what he said about Dizzy Dean. By Judas Priest, if there were one more like him in baseball, just one, as God is my judge, I'd get out of the game. Well, fortunately for Branch Rickey and for baseball, Dizzy Dean was indeed an original. Ray Caldwell came up after one season in the minor leagues in 1910, joined the New York Yankees. Fred Lieb had this comment here that because, again, of his drinking and partying habits, he ended up being the Bugs Raymond of the National Baseball. And Bugs Raymond was a pitcher who was an alcoholic who ended up dying of a skull fracture at a very young age after one too many barroom brawls. Joe Villa, the sports writer for Sporting News and a New York Sun, talked about Caldwell's desertion and dissipation. He lacks self-control when temptation is at hand. And here he is. He's going to face off now 20 years later against Dizzy Dean. And this picture is from early in Dean's career, probably the next year in 1932 with St. Louis. And in 1930, Dean had only 1 year in the minors. He came up and he pitched the last game of the 1930 season. He was brilliant. He beat the Pirates. There was a writer who was a second-string writer on the St. Louis Star, not even a big newspaper, by the name of Red Smith. And he wrote that after watching that one game. So Dizzy Dean comes back in spring training in 1931, and he starts telling the sports writers, and I quote, I can't miss being a great star because I've got everything. And Gabby Street, who was the manager of the Cardinals, couldn't stand this guy. And he didn't want to deal with him. And Dizzy basically opened the season on the Cardinal bench, never got into a game, and then was sent back down to Houston, where he played near the end of the 1930 season. And Now we'll pick up on these two guys a little bit more. Now, I don't know how much you can see this baseball reference sheet here. This is Ray Caldwell's major league record. He was on the Yankees, and in 1914 and 1915 here, he won a total of 37 games. What's amazing about Ray is in 1914, he won 18 games by the end of July, and then he just quit the team. And you wonder how many he would have been a 30-game winner. In 1916, he walked out on the team again in the middle of the summer. No one could find him. He was finally located in Panama. And there was an American pitcher there who had the nickname the Pearl of Panama, and it was Ray Caldwell. Maybe he was looking for more fun at less prices, and he went down south of the border. And so Ray Caldwell then had a comeback season. The Yankees held on to him through 1918. Miller Huggins tried 1 year to deal with him, got rid of him to the Boston Red Sox, and a very bad Boston team released him. And it looked like his career was over. Tris Speaker resurrected his career, and Ray Caldwell won 20 games for the world champion Cleveland Indians in 1920. But a year later, he was suspended again. Ray Caldwell was suspended, I think, by every manager that he had, with the exception of one. And you might find it interesting who that one was. It was a guy by the name of Hal Chase. Ray then went down to the minor leagues. He never got back after 1921. Unfortunately, I think I've cut the years off here a little bit, which is off to the left, to show these bigger. But basically, he had real success on the Kansas City team. The 1923 team is considered, on that minorleaguebaseball.com website, the 18th greatest team in minor league history. He won 16 games for them. And he kept on pitching, never got back to the majors. And in 1929, he seemed washed up. He was playing for Akron. And then he came back to Birmingham, and he pitched really well at the end of the season. Birmingham won the pennant. He was the star of the Dixie Series, which is when the winner of the Southern Association plays the winner of the Texas League, and he won two games against Dallas, so he was the hero of that series. Comes back, wins 20 games in 1930, and then in 1931, he is the star of that team. Now, Dizzy Dean, in 1931, had really a season for the ages. He won 26 games, struck out 304, a 1.57 ERA. Marshall Wright, in his minor league book, says that Dean was the only man in minor league history to win the Triple Crown at all levels. I don't know if that's still the case. In other words, there was no one in any minor league at any level that won more games, struck out more men, or had a lower earned run average than Dizzy Dean. And Dean was a very colorful guy. And here is a picture of the 1931 Buffaloes that I was able to get from the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. The strange part about it is I can't find Dizzy Dean at all in there. And I'm not sure if this was at the end of the season when he went back to St. Louis. And I will mention a little trivia question on behalf of my Northwest Sabre chapter, which always turns out so well here at these conventions. And that is that one of the individuals in this picture, and I asked the members of our chapter not to shout out the answer, if you know it, was on the 1969 Seattle Pilots, 38 years later. I will give you a hint. He owns the all-time recorded official record as the youngest player to ever get a hit in professional baseball. He was 14 years old, and he did not get it in a low minor league. He got it in a fairly high minor league. We can come back to that later. Dizzy Dean probably would have won 30 games this year, but he did sit on the Cardinal bench the first few weeks of the season. And here, Dizzy Dean was a wonderful guy for selling tickets. Here's a quote. One of the quotes he said, he felt sorry for the Barons. It was like stealing candy from a baby. One of my other favorite quotes was that he told the Civic Luncheon in Houston before the series, "If I don't beat them Barons, I'll join the House of David and grow a beard and never, ever shave it off. It would hide my shame." The Houston manager was Clyde Millan, a teammate of Walter Johnson, and Dizzy said before this series, when it's done, Walter's fastball will look like Maddie's knuckleball. I'll be throwing them so fast. Game one was played at the famous Rickwood Field in Birmingham, and they had more than 20,000 fans there. I know the phrase, the greatest game ever played, has been overused, and there have been probably a few books in recent years written that way. Alan Barra, who writes for the Wall Street Journal, wrote a book on the history of Rickwood Field, and he called one of the chapters about this series the greatest games ever played with overflow fans on the field. Dizzy Dean was magnificent in game one. He did something very unusual. He had never had a game in his career where he didn't strike somebody out. And in this game, he decided to go against the grain, and he used a lot of slow pitches, curveball control, and did not strike anyone out. And the game went, Caldwell started for Birmingham. He was in and out of trouble in all the early innings. He wiggled out, and in the eighth inning of a 0-0 game, the Birmingham Barons pushed one run across the plate. Ray got a key hit in that little rally, and basically he was a very good hitter in the teens in the American League. In 1915, he had a very unique record. In the middle of the dead ball era, Ray Caldwell hit three home runs in three straight games, two as a pinch hitter and one as a starting pitcher. So he got a hit, and they held off Dizzy in the ninth inning, and Ray got stronger as the game went on, and the final score was 1-0. The Birmingham Age Herald wrote, it was an epic encounter between age and youth, the undying efficiency of the grand old man of the mound. Now, one of the differences between Caldwell and Dean, and this is another pitcher who was at Rickwood Field many, many years later, that's yours truly, after the Sabre convention in Atlanta. It was about 100 degrees that day, much warmer than it is here. This was a cartoon in one of the newspapers in Houston that's supposed to be Caldwell on the right. He's 43 years old. Now, Ray Caldwell didn't take care of himself, but as much as Dizzy Dean was a very colorful guy, from everything that I understand, Dizzy did. He married young, and he was married one time. Ray Caldwell was married at least four times. When I talked years ago to his stepchildren, grandchildren, they only knew of two marriages, but I know of four for a fact. I'm not sure I told them about it. George Payne was a star pitcher for Houston. He was 42 years old. And so these are the old-timers that are going to be in the game. And then here's Dizzy Dean, born in 1910, the season that Ray Caldwell basically was a rookie in the major leagues. Caldwell had just gotten married the week before the series started. It was marriage number three, and there were pictures in the paper of him and his bride, and he was already a grandfather at the time. Now, I want to touch upon here real briefly on the other games of the series, and I want to start out here by talking about the second game, and you can see there were two 35-year-old pitchers that went at it. And Houston evened the series one game apiece by winning 3-0. And the fascinating thing about these two pitchers is that they combined for 481 wins in the minor leagues and could only win one game in the majors. Both had brief appearances in the major leagues. Dick McCabe, you may notice, is a very interesting thing. He was a pitcher for Fort Worth, but they had a rule in this series that if a pitcher was injured, you could take another pitcher or player at that position, I think, from your league. And Tex Carlton was the pitcher who hurt his arm for Houston, so they chose wisely a pitcher that had really been difficult for them during the year. Remember that number 481 for a second. We have numbers that come up in baseball that are very unusual, and we sometimes wonder, you know, what they mean and what cosmic significance they have. Game number three was again won by Houston, and it was a 1-0 game where that George Payne, the old 42-year-old guy, threw a one-hitter. Now, this is almost spooky, if not scary. When I took a look, the two pitchers that combined for complete games in game two won 481 games in the minors. The two pitchers that combined for game three's 1-0 game won exactly 481 games in the minors. I'm sure that means something, but I'm not sure what. Bob Hasty did win 29 games in the majors. He was on some very bad Philadelphia Athletic teams, I think from 1919 to 1924. So he did get his share. But here again, George Payne, by the way, pitched in the minors until he was 51 years old. As you see, he won more than 300 ball games. Again, I have to confess that I know virtually nothing about these guys, and I'm not sure there's a lot that's just readily available about them, but these guys were true stars in the minor leagues. Game number four was a rematch of Dean and Caldwell. And by the way, this pitcher and a brief summary of this game is in that wonderful book that the local chapter put together for us that you were given in your goodie bag. And Ray Caldwell lost game number four, but he was absolutely brilliant. And now games three, four, and five were in the Houston Stadium, and he really went off to more cheers than Dizzy Dean did. There were some infield hits. One of the papers said that of his seven hits he gave up, Ray Caldwell, four were infield hits that could have been handled or ruled errors, and his team actually made three errors on top of that, and two were doubles that went into temporary bleachers. So now the Barons have their backs against the wall. They're down three games to one. And in game number five, they stave off elimination, and Dick McCabe is beaten in this game. And Clay Touchstone, here's the fifth pitcher that I came across who was in the majors. He was terrific in the minors. So what you really have here now is five pitchers that were in this series that won over 1,200 games that only won 31 games in the minors, majors. If you take Bob Hasty out, then you have four pitchers that won two games in the majors and won over 1,100 games in the minor leagues. I'm not sure we see that a lot nowadays. Game number six, which I don't have a slide on, finally after five games in which only 10 runs combined were scored, in game number six was a hitter slugfest, and the Birmingham Barons won it 14-10. Now they've evened up the series 3-3. Game six was played in Birmingham. They had just taken the train back from Houston, and they flipped a coin to see where game seven would be, and Houston won the coin flip. So they had to take the train back to Houston. And in game number seven, Dizzy Dean once again was not short on predictions. "I'm going to pump them in so fast they can't see him," he said. It was a night game, and he said, "You know, with night game, they won't see my fastball." Bob Hasty, who lost the heartbreaker in game three, started for Birmingham, and he gave up 13 hits. But after eight innings, the score was 3-2 in favor of Birmingham, holding on to lead Dizzy Dean. And finally, in the ninth inning, Birmingham really got to Dean. They scored three more runs, took a 6-2 lead. But there were some problems in the bottom of the ninth inning, and that is that the Houston Buffaloes put a rally together, three hits, scored a run. It's now 6-3. Two men are on base. And who's coming up to the plate but another sensational future Hall of Famer for Houston, Ducky Medwick. Joe Medwick was 19 years old, and Ray Caldwell did not start this game because I think Clyde Millan figured, you know, he really didn't want to start Caldwell for game four, but Ray talked him into it. Millan brought Ray Caldwell in to face Joe Medwick, and Ray proceeded to strike him out and then get the last out. And the Houston Buffaloes, one of the greatest teams in minor league history, they're also ranked one of the 50 greatest, lost this series to the Birmingham Barons. Now, in summarizing right here, what I want to just touch upon is Dizzy Dean then went on to a sensational meteoric career with the St. Louis Cardinals, and then was tragically that career was shortened because of an injury during the All-Star game in 37, and then he injured his arm. And the two men here were really very, you know, they were really very humble in many ways. This is a very rare picture of Caldwell because he was only on Boston for a few months. After game one, he said, "You know, I won the game, you know, I'm the hero, but really I got lucky." And Dizzy Dean, after game seven, he admitted that he got beaten by a better team. He may have mouthed off and said all these things. And the interesting thing is I've gotten some of the pictures here from the Houston Metropolitan Research Center, which has over 4 million photographs downtown, they didn't have any copy on this. I'm fairly certain that the picture on the right is Dizzy Dean shaking hands with Red Ruffing after Ruffing won the fourth and final game of the 38 World Series. And the last pitcher on the Chicago Cubs in that game was none other than Dizzy Dean. So he had been beaten, he admitted he would be beaten, and he has he had a big heart, and he certainly was not was willing to admit when he was broken and beaten and congratulate the other player. Now, Ray Caldwell in this series had no fastball. He didn't strike out very many players. Dizzy Dean, of course, on the other hand, struck out over 300 men. Ray Caldwell, this could be a wonderful quote about Ray Caldwell in 1931, that he didn't have much, but he had these things. And what I want to close with is that in baseball, like in life, things have a way of coming around. This quote was not written about Ray Caldwell. This was a quote written about Dizzy Dean in 1938 by his manager, Gabby Hartnett, when Dean's arm was gone. In his first five seasons in the majors, Dean struck out at least 190 men. In his three seasons with the Chicago Cubs, he struck out a total of 67 men. And he was basically pretty much finished. This is a picture of Ray Caldwell with his son. I've never been able to nail down his son officially being with the Birmingham Barons. Maybe he was only there during spring training. Dizzy Dean, like many pitchers, went on in the minor leagues. Again, this is Baseball Reference here. And what you can see is he really, after even when he joined the Cubs, he had virtually nothing. And at the end of this, of his career, he was 31, 32 years old. He was really done and finished in his 20s. He didn't win a single game. And his career officially ended when he was 32 years old, after a couple fruitless seasons in the minors. Ray Caldwell won 134 games in the majors, 146 in the minors. He finished with Birmingham in 1933 at the age of 45. And just a couple pictures to round things out with. This is the Dizzy Dean that I remember when I was a kid more. I'm not sure if this was taken in the early 50s or in the late 40s, probably the early 50s. And of course, he went on to a long broadcast career, the game of the week. And the final slide that I have here is a picture of Ray Caldwell on the right, together with Bob Feller and another minor league pitcher. Ray Caldwell was only in Cleveland with the Indians for 2 years, but he felt a real attachment to Cleveland. He didn't live there at the end of his life. He had cataract surgery when he was getting older, and the same doctor that operated on Herb Score, that saved Score's eyesight, operated on Ray Caldwell. So this is a look at a Dixie series, but at the same time as I got into it, it really was a wonderful look at the minor leagues at the same time, and these amazing pitchers on their way up, on their way down, and a few others that stick around for literally 20 or more years, have enormous success but can't make it, and I think that's something that's not changing today. We certainly see it on our team in Seattle there, and I think in every team we see players that succeed, but they can't make it the last level. Thank you very much.